Hello everyone and welcome to another recap race analysis here on the Cycling Day and Extra channel, or if you're listening on Spotify. And as always, I'm joined by Patrick Blake of Audi Cycling and one third of the Echelon Cycling Podcast. And today we're looking at E3 Saxo Bank Classic, or E3 Hellbeck, or whatever the name is now. And I mean, Patrick, the big headline, Mathieu Van Der Poel, what we're not, we're both on the start line for once. And yeah, what exactly happened?
Well, it looked like it was going to be a pretty good day of racing. Like you say, Van Der Poel and Van Aert lining up for the first time this season head-to-head. So it feels like a long time since we've had that long-lasting rivalry actually matched up. So we go in with a pretty reasonably sized break, including some riders like Ivo Oliveira, Emil Erzog, Mathis Lebert, etc. Some of those play a part later on, but it felt like the racing took a really long time to get going. The second group, which contained a lot of the big favourites, including Van Der Poel, Van Aert, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Binnie, etc., etc. That group was quite large. It was probably somewhere around 20-25 riders, and you saw constant attacks and counter-attacks where riders like Mohoric tried to go off the front, Stuyven tries to go off the front, Pollitt tries to go off the front, and tries to use Ivo Oliveira from the break to try and draw a move clear. But eventually, it all kind of really comes down to the Paterberg, where just before then, Van Der Poel attacks and Van Aert's in the wheel. That was generally Van Aert's strategy today, was just to kind of sit in the wheel of Van Der Poel and just kind of try and let him do as much of the work as possible. But onto the Paterberg, we saw Mathieu Van Der Poel going in first. We saw Stefan Kung in second wheel, and we saw Van Aert in third, and there's a gutter kind of on the left hand side of the road which they're all trying to get into. Van Der Poel navigates into that quite well. Van Aert follows his line but then just falls off. I think he rides to kind of the outside of the gutter a little bit, a camber, he slips out, he's fine, he gets back on the bike, but then Van Der Poel attacks, really kind of sticking the knife in and twisting it at the same time. He attacks and immediately gets 10 seconds gap. Van Aert's at the back of the group. But then Jorgensen starts pacing the group. Van Aert attacks off of the front of it, and the gap goes from 30 seconds, 20 seconds, 15 seconds, 12 seconds, 10 seconds. Van Aert's really close to Van Der Poel. However, then I think we get onto the Tegenberg, and Van Der Poel just on the climb pulls out 6 seconds. And once we get past that point, it just seems like Van Aert just kind of runs out of legs and he just can't keep up with Van Der Poel, even though Van Aert is on paper a better kind of a time trialist than Van Der Poel is. So that was a bit of a shame. But then we get some kind of group two antics. We see Stuyven going off the front with Navarez and Jorgensen and Velens. Binnie was there, but sadly he was dropped with about 8Ks to go, something like that. It was definitely inside the last 10 kilometers. And then what we see is Van Der Poel taking a fairly easy victory for him. We see Van Der Poel taking the victory ahead of Stuyven in second place, who does a late attack to get away from his second group compatriots, while Van Aert is in third place after a very exhausting day in the saddle for him, it must be said. But a very honorable performance that he tried to get back to Van Der Poel after his mishap on the Paterberg. Velens is in fourth, then Jorgensen, Navarez, Nils Pollitt, Tom Schoens, Vincenzo Albanese, and Alex Kirsch rounding out the top 10. Scots, I mean, there's so much to dissect, right? It was actually quite an exhausting race just to watch. I dread to think what it was like to take part in. What did you make of it?
Bad weather, chaos all over the place. There's a reason why they call this the mini Tour of Flanders, but I mean, finally we have a Van Der Poel winning the race. That's never been done before. Yeah, well, his grandfather, who's not a Van Der Poel, but also Adrie Van Der Poel, coming so close in the past, but Mathieu finally getting the win, and what a celebration as well. Yeah, you kind of said this as well in previous recaps. How do you defeat this Melissa bike in this dominance that they had? Here he comes, Mr. World Champion, and yeah, pretty straightforward to some respect.
Yeah, I guess you could say it was pretty straightforward. I really thought that Visma were going to use more of the numbers game, to be honest, considering that Tratnik was there as well, but if they were just using him as a domestique. Benoit never really made an impact. It was really just down to Jorgensen and Van Aert. And it just looked like all day, Van Der Poel was really on the front foot and Van Aert was just trying to follow him. And I just think it was Van Der Poel's day. He just looked like he was just on the better form today, even though Van Aert has been coming off of an altitude camp at Teed. It looked like Visma were really, I don't know, they made a bit of a hash of it today, in my opinion. I reckon they could have done better considering the start list that that they had for this race, personally.
I mean, what was the winning margin in the end? Because I don't think he beat the record.
It was 1 minute 31.
Okay. 2 minutes and 8 seconds in 1977. So, Mathieu washed. yeah, okay. Wavenaert, what do you make of that? Crashing in the wrong moment of the race, for sure. We were talking, like, why was he not a Strada? Why wasn't he a Milan-San Remo? And then here, unfortunately, yeah, too much time in the volcano.
It's like Zwift. I don't really know. Maybe it is just coming back into racing from an altitude camp. I don't know. Is there a scenario where Van Aert doesn't crash? What would have happened, basically? Would he have been able to stick with Van der Poel? I'm not sure. I just think that Van der Poel was just better today. I just think that when you get to cobbled climbs specifically, Van der Poel just has an edge over Van Aert. Van Aert is better just as like a kind of like the engine, like what people always thought kind of Cancellara to be like. He's a very good time trialist, which is why I was quite surprised that maybe he didn't make the junction. But, you know, he had to put a lot of energy in to try and bridge that gap. And he got very close. But yeah, it's just when it came to the uphill again on the Tiefenberg, he just lost time again. I think that if it wasn't for the crash, it would have been a lot closer. I think Van der Poel definitely would have got second place, at least. He would have stuck with Van der Poel for a bit longer, but maybe he just would have got dropped later on. I just think that Van der Poel is probably a little bit unstoppable today. The fact that he won by a minute 31, you know, Van Aert, yes, he had a crash and he had to chase back, but he kind of just blew up in the last 10K. Like, he literally went from having a 30-second gap on that third group, I guess you'd call it, to just being swept up and then beaten for second place. So he didn't even try to sprint for second place even. So he really showed that he was quite dead.
I mean, quite interesting. Well, we'll talk about Jasper Stuyven. Obviously, he's been a monument winner in the past, won Umlaut, but finishing second here, like you said, Wavenaert didn't have anything. They were saying that, well, there was talks that he was just bonking Wout as well. But interesting that they had Little Trek, three riders in the top 10, and none of them were Mads Pedersen. They had Stuyven, Tom Skoyens, and then Alex Kirsch, and in 11th was Mads Pedersen. Explain.
Yeah, I don't know. It's mind-blowing in a way. I don't know. It is surprising because the bad weather that came in kind of the last 30 minutes, that, you know, we all know that Pedersen gets a stat boost whenever it gets rainy, you know, it's just kind of like a given thing. I guess from San Remo, I do think that Stuyven maybe looked a little bit stronger at San Remo, you know, like especially like the Poggio. I don't know, maybe just it just wasn't Pedersen's day. I don't really want to speculate if he's like got an illness or whatever. I think that's just all speculation, but you know, Skoyens has been very good this season, so he's very good over like a hard day, especially when it gets a bit wet as well. But I am a bit surprised that maybe Kirsch is the one who finished, you know, ahead of Mads Pedersen. It is a little bit like concerning, I guess, but I do always consider that Pedersen's race is more like Gent-Wevelgem rather than an E3. You look back to Pedersen's results in E3 in the past, and none of them are particularly great. I mean, last year he finished 13th, for example, even though he had a very good start to the season, very similar to like he did this year. So it is surprising, but it's also a little bit not surprising, if that makes sense.
I mean, looking at that top 10, Tadej Pogačar obviously finished on the podium last year, but they did fairly well UAE with Tim Wellens and Niels Pollard. Well, both of them have been strong this year in the classics. Matteo Jorgensen as well, fifth place, the Paris-Nice winner, still looking strong. But Vincenzo Albanese in ninth place, that one shocked me a bit. You were talking about the bad weather as well. Binyam Girmay, he was up there in the front group. He's finished fourth in E3 before. But yeah, weather just completely saps him, I think, unfortunately. But yeah, anyone else of note in terms of...
Navarez was very good today.
I think Ecuadorian, Belgian race. It's two things that don't really fit together.
It's good for Ineos because, you know, I can't think of a Commonwealth Classics kind of star in their ranks. I know you could try and say Pidcock, but he's not doing any of the Commonwealth Classic races. So it's good that they've got Navarez to really rally around as their rider. And I think a sixth place here, he was looking very strong in the finale. And I think that he's certainly a name to be looking out to get a top 10 in Flanders next weekend for sure. That was a really strong performance by him. But yeah, like you say, Velland's very good as well. Pollitt was good. I mean, I think they do better in the rain as well, but so that's certainly made an impact. So we'll have to wait. Keep your eye on the forecast for Flanders next weekend. We'll wait. That'll certainly influence who is going to do well. But I mean, one thing's for certain is that it doesn't seem to matter what the weather is. Vanderpool is going to be likely the biggest favourite going into Flanders next weekend, considering how he pretty easily dusted off everybody today, even if, you know, that wasn't the consequence of Van Aert getting done over by a gutter.
So Jasper Philipsen won Depan. He wins E3. Who are they riding for in Get Well Again? Obviously, the preview is available here on the channel.
I'd say Philipsen. I think that Vanderpool rides a hard enough pace. There's no Van Aert there. That's obviously worth mentioning. Gent Wevelgem, I just think that Vanderpool rides a hard enough pace where it's just on the edge for Philipsen. And then with the tailwind finish, Vanderpool can just like ride on the front and mark any moves. And Philipsen, you know, he's not just a rubbish sprinter. He's very tactically astute as well. So I think that those two will be a killer combination on it. At Gent Wevelgem on Sunday, I really am struggling to see past a Philipsen or Vanderpool, basically an Alpecin victory at Gent Wevelgem. Maybe it's just going to be the year for Alpecin in the Cobble Classics.
Yeah, it's looking like that as well. But anyways, that's basically it for this recap race analysis of E3. Make sure to hit the like button, subscribe to the channel if you're new, and let us know down below what you think of who's going to win Gent Wevelgem, I guess. And there's also a copy of our three highlights package out on the channel, so check that out, and the previous show we did, and of course also check out Patrick's own channel, Audio Cycling. There'll be a Velo Games preview out for that, and the Echelon Cycling podcast. All that, it will be in the link down below, or the description down below. But with that, thank you very much for watching, and we will see you in the next one.